This is Here and Now, and just like the general population, the prison population in this country is aging. The elderly are, according to the ACLU, the fastest-growing segment of prisoners, which may be one reason why the short documentary film Prison Terminal, The Last Days of Private Jack Hall, has attracted so much attention. The HBO film has been nominated for an Academy Award for Documentary Short Subject. It follows an 82-year-old World War II veteran prisoner named Jack Hall. He's serving a life sentence for killing a drug dealer who he held responsible for his son's death.
And one day this drug dealer was bragging about how he made his money. He didn't make no more. I stopped him.
Well, that landed Hall in prison, and the film follows him as he agrees to enter a hospice program for terminally ill prisoners. Joining us from New York is Edgar Behrens. He is the film's director, producer, and photographer. Edgar Behrens, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, what drew you to Jack Hall in the first place?
Well, actually, I was allowed to be in that prison for up to a year. And at the time I was there, for the first 2 months, there was not a hospice patient there, but there were long-termer patients in the infirmary. And Jack Hall happened to be one of the long-term patients there. He had heart problems, and he was not allowed back into general population because he was old and probably couldn't take care of himself. So 2 months into my stay there, he started getting ill. He had double pneumonia, and it looked like he was probably going to be the person I was going to focus on. So it was kind of by happenstance, to tell you the truth.
And it brings up so many issues, one of which is just how many elderly people are in the prisons in this country.
Yeah, it is a huge problem, and actually it is just going to get worse as the years go by. To tell you the truth, the infirmary at the Iowa State Penitentiary was turning into a nursing home because there's so many older inmates there that they're not going to get medical parole or, commutation is rarely used, if ever. So these guys are basically destined to die behind bars. So the hospice program came to light, and I think it's the most dignified way that we're allowing these prisoners to die.
And just so people know, this is not something that's taxpayer funded. These are all volunteers, other prisoners that are helping these prisoners die in a more dignified way.
Absolutely. It's all funded by prisoner contributions as well as the community. Like the community hospice volunteers would come in and train the prisoners. So the community is also tied into the prison, which is something that is rare. So the goodness of this prison hospice kind of ripples out not only into the yard, the prison yard, but it also ripples out into the community at large, like Fort Madison, where the prison is.
Now, you focus on this guy, Jack Hall, who was a member of the Greatest Generation. He fought in World War II. He spent time in a German prison camp. And let's listen to him talk about the effect that that had on him.
When I come back from the war, anybody do anything to me, the first thing I want to do is kill them. That's the first thing that comes to your mind. That ain't right. But that drove into you for 2 years, that's all I heard. How to kill.
And that's exactly what he did. That's what wound him up in prison, right?
Exactly. Jack got into, he became a soldier at the age of 17, and he was trained as a ranger, which they are the precursors to the Green Berets. So he was like one of the first Green Berets, let's say, trained to kill. In the 3 years he was in World War II, he killed probably hundreds of enemy soldiers. So when he returned, he was basically told, like many returning veterans, to forget what you did. Here's a carton of cigarettes and here's $50. He was given the key to the town of Keokuk because he came back a war hero. But the truth is he couldn't shake what he had done. And he was plagued by dreams that he'd wake up in a cold sweat. And even to the very last week he was alive, he had these dreams. So he was definitely suffering of PTSD, but, they didn't diagnose it back then. So basically, Jack medicated himself by becoming an alcoholic to live with his memories. Consequently, through alcoholism, he kind of plunged into a life of crime, and he basically took care of problems the wrong way.
But aren't you kind of stacking the deck when you're telling this story by showing the case of a guy who is a prisoner of war who fought for this country and then came back and committed a crime, and we feel very sympathetic to that person, when in fact you're thinking the entire time as you're watching this film, I guess I should also be feeling bad for the family of the person he killed.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by stacking the deck. I mean, I do know that people see Jack as being sympathetic because he killed a drug dealer. who allegedly got his son hooked on drugs. And I think that, in a weird way, people see, well, that was a good thing. I don't necessarily agree with that, because murder is murder, whether, you know, it's a drug dealer or someone who just happens to be on the street. So I don't know exactly what you mean by stacking the deck.
Well, you're telling a very sympathetic tale. You make us wonder when you see Jack, 80-something-year-old guy, being wheeled into an ambulance and they put handcuffs on him, you know, as if he's going to run.
Right. Yeah, that's a shocking scene. Most people think, like, why the heck do you bother putting that on? It's all protocol, obviously. It's all rules and regulations. And, yeah, he could never run if he wanted to. But this is all a reality. This is exactly what happens in prison. Even though this guy is 83 years old and feeble, they have to shackle him up if they're going to take him off site. So very few compromises are made, even when someone is this old and this feeble and in prison for life.
We're speaking with Prison Terminal filmmaker Edgar Behrens, and you're listening to Here and Now. And Edgar, we also get to meet some of the prisoners who staff the hospice. They're very reflective about their reasons for taking part in the program. Let's take a listen to Love, who is serving a life sentence on a kidnapping charge.
Prison is a cold place. Don't get me wrong. You know, prison is a cold place, but death is colder. No, you know you're dying. Your family is thousands of miles away. It's hardest on those who die by yourself.
It's hardest on those who die by themselves, he's saying there. What struck you the most as you were making this film?
Well, you know, it's weird. When I was telling my friends and family that I was going to make this film, I got to tell you, the majority of people just never gave it a second thought. They're saying they didn't even think about people dying in prison. The majority of people that die in prison die alone in their cells or in some infirmary by themselves or in some state hospital shackled to a bed with a guard outside the door. And I know that a lot of people think that that is exactly what they deserve. But I think as a society, we have to be better than they were when they committed their crime, and we have to be more we have to show more compassion and more dignity while they're dying. And I think this prison hospice in Iowa, I think it's a beautiful example of what can happen behind the walls. Let's face it, there are very few things that are good that are happening behind prison walls. And this is one sparkling example of what can happen with no money, to tell you the truth. This is all volunteer. There's no tax money going to these programs. So, yeah.
Is there any sense that other prisons are going to start to copy this program?
Well, that is why I kind of made this film. Right now, we have 1,800 correctional facilities in the country, and only 75 hospices are up and running. And of those 75, only 20 use prisoners as hospice volunteers, which I think is essential for a well-run program that is holistic. It not only helps the prisoner who's dying and his family members, if he has family members who are connected with him, but it also helps the prisoner who is the volunteer, as well as the prisoners that are just out in the yard, because now they can see that people are dying in prison. They just don't disappear. So it's been a very holistic program, and I think it's beneficial for everyone involved.
Edgar Behrens is director, producer, and photographer of Prison Terminal, The Last Days of Private Jack Hall, which is nominated for an Academy Award for Documentary Short Subject. It'll premiere on HBO next month. Edgar Behrens, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here Now.